with not just your well-being, but the well-being of your children. And if you have grandchildren, your grandchildren. You have no choice but to be concerned, because the world has become what the Bible said it would become. It has waxed worse and worse. But the thing about it is that when we think about those things, we can't always think about those things and keep faith that everything looks like it's going to be all right. Sometimes we kind of waver because of the unknown and the uncertainties of life. But in order for us to continue on and not to give up and throw in the towel like so many others have done, and so many people that have gotten tired of holding on and waiting on God to do something about the situation, you know, we give up so easily, and, you know, we worry so much that the enemy has begun to take a toll on our bodies and even our mental health. Amen? But Paul here, before I go further, Paul here is writing to the Philippians church, the church at Philippi, and Paul said that this pretty much was kind of his favorite church, because they were very communicative to him, where they gave to his ministry. They made sure that he had what he needed. They made sure that not only that he had what he needed, but they hired a man to just be his assistant. And notice this, while he was in jail. Mm-hmm. Now, we would have said, if that was me, y'all would have said, he on his own now. Get us a new pastor. Amen. But they thought enough of Paul while he was in jail to send somebody to help him out, to be there at his beck and call if he needed something. We live in a world today that they would not consider, most people don't even consider a man of God fit to even speak to. Some folks, I'm telling you, for whatever reasons, they hate the man of God. But I'm not going to get on that. We're going to move on. Paul loved this church, and this church loved him. And it's something about when you love a church and the church love you back, how God will just bless in between that, both parties. Amen. Amen. And so Paul writes to them, and anyway, he talks to them first of all about, you know, who they are in Christ. He talks about his desire to know Christ even better, to know him in the fellowship of suffering. He talks about that. He does not hide anything from them so that they could understand that every day is not going to be a great day, that you will have some suffering, but that does not mean that you're pulled away from Christ. That does not mean that he is not with you when things don't go your way. Amen. He even tells them that the glory rests upon you when you're able to stand the infirmities. Amen. But he also tells them who he was and how he could be built up in his flesh by his intellect, where he studied and went to school, and how he was a Pharisee of Pharisees and of the Israelite of Israelites, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and of the tribe of Benjamin. He bragged about all that, but then he said, I count all of that but dung. He said, it's no good if I don't know Jesus. Then he tells them, he said, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens, because we need to know we can do all things. And because there are some things that will be difficult to us, and because they're difficult to us, we think we can't do them. But I can achieve through anything because of Christ. Amen. And so then he goes on, and verse 1, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for joy and crown. He said, all of this, he put some stuff into it. He says, stand fast in the Lord, my dear beloved. He telling him, he said, even though you got some stuff that you may encounter, you need to be able to stand fast. In other words, you need to be fastened in your place. You need to stand to where you're not going to move because of things that come your way that are undesirable and unfavorable in your life. You need to be able to stand fast. Tell somebody, stand fast. You need to stay put. You need to not move. You need to hold your hope. Amen. Then he tells me, he said, but I want to beseech Eudeus and Suntiki. I want you to make sure that they are of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, these women were important, just like this morning. These women choir was so important to us to get us in the place where we needed to be. But he said for them to be of the same mind. In other words, Paul said that women need to walk in agreement. We cannot afford to have double-mindedness, and we cannot afford to be divided and have division or division, because division kills division. Come on and say amen. But when we come together and two walk together and agree, we can achieve anything, because if we can pray the prayer of agreement, the Bible said that God will answer our prayer. Amen now. So he said these two women, apparently they were very important in the church. And he said that I want you to encourage them to get along. Amen. It's important for us to get along. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We can't be mad with each other and at church together. Lord have mercy. We shouldn't be mad with each other and live around each other. Somebody got to take the high road, which sometimes we call the low road, amen, and say, I'm just going to let it go. And somebody got to decide that, you know, I don't know everything, and I can't always have my way. Somebody got to decide I sometimes have to give up the right and suffer the wrong. Y'all with me this morning? But he wanted these ladies to be on one accord. And he said in verse 3, and not only them, he said, but I want the women which labor with me and in the gospel and with Clement also. There were some women that labored in the gospel with him and Clement, which was another saint of God that really was powerful in that day. He said, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life, we sometimes get so carried away on titles and who's who and all of this. Paul said, look, it doesn't matter about the title. What matters is that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I don't care what your assignment is. Don't call me by my assignment. Just call me by my name, because my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And too many times we get caught up on the assignment and we think that we're going to be called by the assignment. When the book is open, they're not going to call you by your assignment. They're going to call you by your name. And I wish so many people would get that. Oh, you didn't call me deacon. You didn't call me pastor. You didn't call me reverend. Well, they ain't gonna call you that when the book open. They gonna call you by your name. You ain't called me choir president, secretary. They're not gonna call you that when the book is open. Call me by my name. Whose name, he said, it's more important that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I know we put a whole bunch of emphasis on that, and it's good to have respect toward people when we put the title on, but let's not let the title become so big that we forget about the person. Amen. He said, whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And I'm going to get to this part now. I'm getting to the body of the message. He said, rejoice in the Lord. When? He said, rejoice always. In everything that we do, we are to rejoice. Now, to rejoice means that you have to show or act out the joy that you have on the inside. I am now of the opinion that so many Christians don't have the joy that they sing about. The reason why is because so many of us are so bitter and angry. And when we, you know, when you speak, we growling and we barking at folks. Come on and say amen here. We got so all of, you know, we get all in our feelings and things like that. And we forget who we are. And we forget about the joy of the Lord being our strength. All right. I'm going to go somewhere. And if I don't, he said, rejoice in the Lord. Do you have any joy? But then not only did he say rejoice in the Lord always, but then he said, and again, I say rejoice. Paul was saying something to them that was pretty important. The first thing, that if we want a recipe, we got to have the right ingredients. And if you don't have the right ingredients, you put the wrong stuff or too much of something in it, you'll mess up the whole pot. You'll mess up the whole dish. If you put too much salt in your beans, you might as well dump them out. Amen. Ain't nobody going to be able to eat them. Amen? Right? If we put just too much of something in there, you know, you put too much sage in the dressing. I don't like that. Amen? We got to have just the right, a pinch of this and a pinch. So today I suggest to you the first thing you need for this recipe to keep you from worrying so much is to learn how to praise. It's few people know how. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And always, and so always mean in my bad times, hallelujah. In my good time, hallelujah. In the worst time, hallelujah, anyhow. Do I have anybody that can say hallelujah anyhow? I've had some hard times, but hallelujah anyhow. I had some folks lie on me, talk about me. I had the attack of the devil just before I got here, and I still came in with a praise in my heart and thanksgiving off my lips, and I'm rejoicing in the Lord because of how good he's been to me. Oh, do I have anybody that say, I got a pot with some praise in it? Oh, you know how it is. There's some things that you can put in the pot first that make it smell so good, people wonder what you're about to cook up. Oh, come on and say amen in here. Oh, glory. I found out something that if you're barbecuing, just take your onion and take it and cut it and put it on the grill while it's hot, and that smell just make people want to know what you're about to cook. Am I right about it? I mean, that smell will go a long way. Now, you know, and so what we got to do, we got to do the same thing with praise. We got to praise so when people see the smoke and they smell the fragrance of your praise, they'll know that something is about to go down, that something is about to happen, because I'm telling you, he inhabits the praises of his people. If you think God is not near you in the time of your trouble, I dare you to muster up a praise, and you'll find out that he's right there. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I know how to put praise in the pot? Oh, hallelujah. I need praise. Because when I praise God, it makes me feel better. When I praise God, it takes me a long way. Oh, hallelujah. When I praise God, I think I take my mind off of the worry and the frustrations of the day, and I just start praising him. You ever wonder why the older folks, they could go to the cotton field and still sing? Their condition wasn't so good, but they can still sing through it all. Sun beaming down. Nothing but probably a tablespoon of honey for the breakfast. Still out there praising God. Y'all with me today? You ever wonder why? I used to wonder why Mama would be, you know, all the proud. I never knew all the things she might have went through. But she would praise God on Saturday morning, wake up, and the food smelled good. I had to get out of the bed. But not only did the food get me out of the bed, but her singing, humming. Amen? Because God will give you a song in the middle of your trouble. Y'all don't hear me today. My God. All right. And so he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I must repeat myself. I must let you know that you got to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. The reason why I rejoice is because I'm in the Lord. And when I'm in the Lord, I realize that I got the victory because victory is in Jesus. And so therefore, I can rejoice. Y'all still with me? But notice what he said in verse number 6. He says, be careful for nothing. Let's go to verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. Look at this here. He says that we need to make sure we're gentle and gracious to all men. Now, you know, we used to preach about this, and I've heard a preacher say, oh, you know, we need to let people know about the Lord and let them know, spare not and cry loud because the Lord coming. But what you know what this really means? It means that you need to be gentle and gracious and learn how to treat people because the Lord is with you. Amen. He's present. Lord have mercy here. He's present with you. We need to make sure that the Lord that we treat people right. Paul is saying that the reality of our faith should be demonstrated on how we treat people. if the focus of our lives are on our own selves, then the people that we're trying to reach and the people who we're supposed to influence won't be able to receive him because we're focused on ourselves. Because we think it's all about us. Amen? It's time out for all this narcissistic attitudes that we have. And we think about the people that hurt us. We think about our haters. We think about the people that crossed us. We think about the people that did us wrong. And the more we think about it, the more we think about retaliating. The more we think about vengeance. And the more when we pray, we talk about the God, do something to them. God, show them. And God, fix them. God, deal with them. And sometimes we need to just let that go and say, Lord, what they try to do didn't work because no weapon formed against me will prosper, and so therefore, God, I'm good. But save them so they won't try to do it to somebody else. Save them so they can repent of their sin. Save them so their iniquity. I wish I had somebody. We can't keep focusing on ourselves. He said, let our moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's with us. He's right there. He's close by. So we need to keep that in mind when we treat our neighbor whatever way we treat him. Yeah. Preach. Yeah. You need to know, when you curse them out, you did it right there in front of the Lord. Can I say front? In front of the Lord. Amen. Yeah, when you act a fool, when you lie, when you done whatever you did, when you passed that gossip, the Lord was right there. Praise the Lord. Be gentle and be gracious. When we're gentle and we're gracious, we're like Jesus. And that's what we're professing that we are. We're Christ-like. We're Christians. We're the anointed ones. Amen? Amen. All right. He says, I'm going to go a little further. I don't like that part. The Lord is at hand. Then he says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the next thing that we need to make sure we have in our life or in our pot, in the pot of life, we need to make sure that we have prayer. We need to make sure that we put the ingredients of prayer in it, because prayer changes things. Prayer does some stuff for us. Amen. He said, first, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't have anxiety and worry about the things that are going on around you or even in your life, because God is still in control. And you know what I realize is some things that we can't do nothing about, but we worry. Somebody say amen. It's some things that we can't do anything about, and we still worry, we get frustrated, we get all up in the air about things, and we can't change it, not for nothing. We can't do nothing about it, amen? Amen. And so when we think about worry, worry will destroy our life. You can't even live happy. You can't have a good moment without worrying. Let me tell you something. Worry has several diseases. Come with worry. Let me tell you about 15 of them. Can I tell you about 15 of them? I'm going to just give you about 15 of them. First one, it weakens the immune system. Make you more susceptible to infections and colds and stuff like that. Worry does this. All right? Number two, it gives you high blood pressure. Well, amen. Check this out. It upsets your stomach and gives you ulcers and also causes acid reflux. Worry. Worry gives you anxiety. It increases rapid heartbeats, heart palpitations, panic attacks, cardiovascular problems. It increases blood sugar levels, irritable bowel problems, gives you backache, tension headaches, migraines, sleep problems, chronic fatigue syndrome, respiratory problems with heavy breathing, worsened skin conditions such as eczema. Worry. Worry can do all of this to a person. Worry. And we worry about the simplest thing. When you realize you can't change it and only God can. We got to stop the worrying. If you can't do nothing about it, stop worrying about it. Say, Lord, you know, only God can do something about it. Worry will make you sick. Keep saying, I'm sick and tired. It makes you sick and tired. That's what I just read to you. It will make you sick and tired. That's why the enemy makes sure he puts it in your face. That's why he put it in your face right before you go to bed. You got to keep praying about it. You're laying in the bed. You're thinking about it. You're calling somebody on the phone talking about it. You're texting about it. Then a commercial come on about it. To make sure you worry. But when you realize that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose, when we realize that, we realize that if God be for us, then who can be against us? When we realize that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous avail it much, when we understand that, our worry should stop. Can I just talk to you this morning? We need prayer. He says, but in everything, not only did he say rejoice always, but he said with everything that go on, be prayerful. He said prayer and supplication. I don't really have time to go into the difference between the two, but I'm just going to tell you prayer and supplication. You got to pray, and then you have to have special designated times to pray for special things. Come on and say amen. I know we only have our three times a day. Many of us, the average person prays in the morning, then he prays over his food at lunchtime, and then they pray at night before they go to bed, average. But I dare you to be better than average. I dare you to say, I'm not going to be average. I'm going to do better than average. I'm going to pray always. I'm going to pray and I'm going to supplicate. I'm going to designate some time every day that's going to be my prayer time. Phone is off. No texting while I'm praying, preaching here. All right. So he says that with prayer and supplication, and then look at this. The problem with many of us, we give God a grocery list of stuff that we would like to see him do for us, but we don't even thank him for doing it. Amen. But we go worrying about, Lord, please have mercy. Lord, how come poor, weak, and humble? And we try to manipulate God with all of our sayings and stuff like that. Do you know that sometimes you ain't got to manipulate, or you ain't got to say all that stuff to manipulate God to do something? All you got to do something. Time and say, Lord, I thank you. Look at what it said. He said, if you want your request to be made known to God, you need to learn how to thank him in the midst of the prayer, even though you don't have what you need, even though you still got situations going on. But if you learn how to thank him while you pray, come on and say amen. If you learn how to give him thanks, and thanksgiving goes along with praise. Oh, so now we're making this gumbo. Now we're making this stew because all of this stuff starting to taste alike. Amen. We're starting to make something. We got prayer and praise. And before you know it, my praise turned into a prayer. My prayer turns into a praise. Do I have anybody? I used to wonder why in the world the old deacons could get down and start praying. And before you know it, the people start going behind them humming. And next thing you know, their prayer turns into like a song. Well, guess what happened? They turned their prayer into a praise. In the midst of what they were going through, they said, Lord, I thank you. Now, Lord, amen. Come on and say hallelujah. They start to praise God in the midst of their prayer. And we have to learn how to thank the Lord for what he's already done, even though we don't see it. The Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it, but I thank you for it. I don't feel it. Lord, have mercy in here. We got to get past our feeling. See, sometime we got to get past that. Look at what he said. He says that, and make our supplication be made known for thanksgiving. Our request to be known to God. In verse 7, he said, and the peace of God. We got to learn how to wait on God. And he said, the peace of God. Look at the promise of peace here. He said, the peace of God. That's another thing that we're going to have in the pot. Something that's God-given. Amen. He said, the peace of God would pass all understanding. What is he saying here? It passes all understanding. What he's saying is that it passes what I know. preach. It passes not only what I know, but it passes what I feel. See, sometimes what I know affects what I feel. I know I got pain in my body. I know what the doctor said. I know that my bills are due. Don't know where the money is coming from. I know I got problems, but the peace of God surpasses what I know. I know it don't look good, but God still gives me peace in the midst of my trial and pain. I know it doesn't feel right, but guess what? God gives me peace. Oh, I don't like this eerie feeling that I have because of how I feel in my body. I feel sluggish and tired, but I know God will give me peace about it. Somebody say amen in here. We need to know that the peace of God, and it's not my peace. Jesus said, better yet, Jesus said, he said, I'll give you peace not as the world give it. I'll give you my peace. In other words, I don't give you the kind of peace that make you want to run from your problems. I give you the kind of peace that as you stay in your problem, that everything is going to be all right. I give you the kind of peace that's worry-free, that you say, you know what, Lord? If I can't do it and if you can't do it, nobody can. So I'm not going to worry myself tonight, but I'm going to rest on. It's the kind of peace that allows you to sleep through it. It's the kind of peace that allows you to say, you know what? No weapon formed against me will prosper. It may form up, but doesn't matter what comes my way, I know God will. Do I have anybody? He said, I give you peace that surpasses. And the word, when it said it passes, I'm sorry, it said passes all understanding. In other words, it goes above understanding. It rises over the top of understanding. And somebody might ask you, why in the world you don't look like you worried? All that hell you going through? Well, I can't explain because I really don't understand. But all I know is the Lord got my back. All I know that this battle is not mine, but it belongs to the Lord. Do I have anybody that said this battle is not mine? I know this battle belongs to God. I got the peace that passes all understanding. But look at what he said. He said that peace not only passes understanding, he said, but peace will keep your heart and it'll keep your mind through Christ Jesus. What was he talking about here? He said the word keep is like a military word. In other words, God has ordered peace. I wish I had somebody. See, what peace is an order. And peace not only is an order, but peace brings order to disorder. See, some of us have some disorder. Some of us have some dysfunction. But when God speaks peace, do you remember when Jesus was on the ship and they said, Lord, you don't care that we perish. And Jesus got up and said, peace. Be still. Do I have anybody that say, I've been in a storm, but guess what God said? He said, peace, be still. If you haven't heard it already, I came to tell you this morning that I'm just an echo of what Jesus already said. He said, peace, be still. I know you've been through the storm. I know you've been through the rain. I know that the water's overtaking your boat. I know that the waves are rocking you back and forth. I know that the winds are temperate. But guess what? Today, Jesus said, peace. Be still, and the wind begin to cease. I want you to see something here. He said it'll keep your heart. In other words, when he gave the order, everything had no choice but to do what he said. He said it'll keep your heart. In other words, he'll gather around you so that you won't be bothered. Even though it's storming all around you, you shall not be moved. Even though the wind blowing all around you, you'll still stand the storm and rain. Come on and say yes in here. Give God some glory. He said it'll keep your heart. The heart is the seat of the beings, the whole being. The heart is where your whole being lies. It is the very inner part of your being spiritually and physically. So he said no matter what comes spiritually and no matter what comes physically, the Lord is able to keep you. Somebody say yes. He'll keep you in perfect peace. If you can keep your mind stayed on him. Do I have anybody that said Jesus?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch